Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus.
Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask that your wisdom guide us today, that you show us the value of wisdom and getting it quickly and holding fast to it with love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, saints, I'm going to start off with Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8. The word of the Lord says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life." Well, what we sow, we reap. It is written in the Word, can't be broken. What you do with your mouth, what you do with your feet, what you do with your hands, the works that you do will come back to you, whether good or bad. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. And he says that if you reap an evil seed, it will be corruption to you. And ultimately, this corruption leads to reprobation. You know, the more you sow a good seed, the more you have that seed, that fruit in you to think from, to do from, to empower you, etc. The more you sow an evil seed, the more you're sowing through what you have done, which is evil. And this reaps more and more corruption. People that don't understand that they are making their own future by what they say and by what they do will not have the fear of the Lord and will ultimately be among those that are lost. Pray that the Lord grant you the wisdom to seek wisdom, to fill your house, your mind with wisdom, so that what you sow is a good seed and you reap a good reward. Pray, because let me tell you, most people don't do that. Most people lose their way and fall away and end up in the nastiest judgments the earth has got for people that do such a thing. So Luke 10 and 38 says, "Now as they went on their way, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving." Now, the Lord, serving is good. You know, the Lord said, "The greatest among you shall be your servant." And so serving is good, but there must be something higher than that. And that is sitting at the Lord's feet, because you don't really know how to serve. There are many people out there serving other kingdoms that they think are Christ's kingdom, or serving themselves, which they think is Christ's kingdom. And because they never sat at the Lord's feet to find out what his kingdom was. and what serving him is. And so there's no fruit at the end of that road. And sometimes that's a growing stage where people grow through that. They understand that this is man's works, and they grow up and they start doing the works of the kingdom. That's good. That's good. But some never grow up. They sit on a pew and die there, and they never grow up. And they listen to words, good words, and they don't affect them. So, but Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her that she help me." But the Lord answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things." Well, these things were keeping Martha distracted from the most important things that Mary was discovering. But one thing is needful, for Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is needful. And this one thing will not be taken away from you. That if you sit at the Lord's feet and study him and desire to be like him and fear him and obey his word, and the Holy Spirit brings that word to your remembrance, and you sow that seed, that good seed, this is never going to be taken away from you, because that is the eternal seed. It's the eternal seed. The rest will be plowed under. As I've always said, it's not the plant that the Lord is coming to look for. It's the fruit. He takes the fruit and the rest is plowed under. Your old life is going back to the soil. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Mary chose the good part, the one thing that is needful, and it will not be taken away from her. Oh, praise be to God. We should learn this lesson quickly, because there are some, by the way, that do sit at the Lord's feet. They're interested in learning, but they never put their learning to action. So this is just as bad. I mean, in fact, it makes you more responsible to sit there and listen to truth and never obey it. And it never comes up. Only your flesh rules when you're in circumstances and situations. And so, of course, there's no fruit there either. Like the Lord said in James chapter 1, 21, he says, "Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word," or engrafted or inborn word, "which is able to save your souls." It's able to save your souls. We've talked much about the saving of the spirit, which we had nothing to do with that. You didn't choose me. I chose you. He gave us a new spirit. Now we're responsible to obey that spirit, which obeys the Holy Spirit, so that we have a born again soul, as he told Peter, begotten again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. The Christian's duty is to have that born again soul, because they're not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. They put the word to action in their life. Some people know about the word, and that's good, and they think that that's good enough, and they know enough about it to tell other people, but they don't obey it, as Jesus said of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves." You deceive yourselves by doing this. When a person hears the word and doesn't obey it in the opportunities, in the trials, in the tribulations, you see, the word is our cross. It is the place where we die. When you in your circumstances and situations want to do what your flesh wants you to do, you're going to die. But if you die to self and obey the word in these circumstances, and you turn the other cheek, for instance, when you don't feel like it, you love your enemy when you don't feel like it, all these commands of the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You will keep my commandments. But those who hear and don't do, they delude themselves. They deceive themselves. And they're sowing a seed which will bring corruption. And ultimately, this corruption will bring reprobation. 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. We've learned in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 that you behold Christ's face in the mirror. And then you're transformed into that same image from glory to glory because you accept that by faith and you speak it by faith. You've heard the gospel, the really good news that we don't live anymore, that Christ lives in us, and you speak it and you agree with it. And you act on it, which is the most important action is your words, but then, of course, your feet. You act upon what you know. And you in the trials and temptations, do you act upon what you know is right? Because the deluded person is ultimately not able to do that. They just find it more comforting to forget what manner of man they are. And so they pass up that point in their test, in their trial, where they could have more of Christ and instead have more of the flesh. That's the delusion. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. Amen. So, this is a big temptation to people. I mean, your trial, you've learned how to manipulate your way through life. You've learned how to work things out your way. You learned how to use the power of man in every situation. But the Lord is asking us to give all that up. His power is made perfect in our weakness. We need to be weak to the ways of the world and wise to the ways of the kingdom and walk that way. There's no way to bear the fruit of the Jesus of the Bible without taking up our cross, obeying his word, and following him. We study him because we want to be disciples, right? And there are many people that are Christians, loosely called, but they're not disciples. And, of course, because of this, there is a great falling away that's constantly happening. Jesus spoke about it in Matthew 13, 19 through 23. I'll read it to you. There is a great falling away all the time of people who come to Jesus. Well, you wouldn't know it if you talk to the preachers. That they think it's a finality thing here. When you've come to Jesus, well, it's just forever, you know. Once saved, always saved, or whatever form of that you like, you know. But he says, when any man hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, there cometh the evil one and snatcheth away that which has been sown in his heart. I've very sadly seen this happen to a lot of people. People who came and learned the word and studied the word were happy to see knowledge and understand knowledge, but chose the flesh. I've had people who were falling into faction that I warned, that even told me, David, everything that I learned here is no longer in my mind. And I think they were thinking that was a positive thing, like it should have been erased out of their mind. But no, they were hateful and critical and judgmental and deceptive and stealing and all these things. No, it was those things which they learned were washed out of their mind, forgotten, and you can't put it back in there. I've tried. You know, you can't bring correction to somebody who has lost their conscience. That's a reprobation. They've lost their conscience. It's not in there anymore. They're back to their old ways, back to their old ways of doing things, back to their old sins. Their youthful lusts have taken them back over, and they've been reprobated. And he said, "This is he that was sown by the wayside. And he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that heareth the word, and straightway with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, straightway he stumbleth." So they hear it, and they love it. They enjoy it. Would that they loved to obey it and do it more so, because then they would have borne fruit. Would that they have loved it more than their life in the world, because they turned back to the things of the world, the ways of the world, the thinking of the world. When you become a disciple of Christ and you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you have to live a different way. And that's because God has made promises to you that if you ignore them, the only thing you have left is to go back to doing things the way you did them before. And one thing that's foolishness with men is the crucified life. It is so foolish to men. They don't understand why you don't want to do those things or defend yourself or whatever. You know, they don't understand. And they stumble, he says. Verse 22:3, "And he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Yep. Caught up in the world, the love of the world, the things of the world, which, of course, the Bible says, you don't have the love of the Father. If your love is on these things, you don't have the love of the Father. Would that the prosperity people out there would understand that. They will understand it. They will see fruit of it. They will see fruit in their leaders that have led them that way. They will see the corruption that they fall into. They will see their hatred for their fellow man while they glutton on everything that they can. "And he becometh unfruitful," he says. "And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who verily beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He hears the word and he understands it and he walks in it. The fruit, of course, is the actions in your life that are in agreement with the word of God. So the sower went forth and sowed the seed into the heart. Okay. What should we do? I mean, he's already sowed the seed. I mean, we're reading here the best preaching there is anywhere. No man can beat the Lord's preaching. Nobody can. His is the standard. You can get the word into your heart and into your mind anytime you want to. He's already sowed the seed. How does it get into these different hearts? Well, you got to put it there. The Lord said the Holy Spirit would bring all things to your remembrance, but you've got to put it there for him to do that. And you do need that in the trials of life. You do need the word to come up in your mind. It doesn't have to be an exact quote, but the understanding of the word, you need it to come up into your mind in the midst of the trials, because you'll make the wrong decision if you don't. Because the flesh is always, you know, the natural thing to do. You know, you've been raised that way. Mom and daddy taught you that way, you know. So that's the natural thing to do. You fall back on those things that were your old life. If you don't have the knowledge of the new life, you fall back on the old life. That's just the way it is. Oh, and what happens to these people that fall away? Well, I can tell you what the Lord has told me, and that is you'll either be the persecuted or you'll be the persecutor. These people who are falling away, even though they can be very religious, you know, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, they had no mind for godliness. They were corrupt. They had fallen away. They persecuted Jesus and his disciples. And yet they were at the head of what they thought was God's religion, you know. But they became reprobate because they didn't do what they knew. Jesus said that about them. They loaded men down with all kinds of burdens of what you must do, but they wouldn't touch any of it with their little finger. And so this is the deal. If you continue in that way, corruption will take you. You'll become more and more corrupt. You'll sow more and more corrupt. You'll reap more and more corrupt until you die, both spiritually and physically. Just a couple of reminders here. 2 Peter. And we'll start in verse 9, I believe. Now, I think I will take 2 Peter 2 and 9 and read on down, okay? The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment unto the day of judgment. Well, if you're kept under punishment until the day of judgment, that's kind of a reprobation, don't you think? But he knows how to deliver the godly, the one who wants to obey the Lord, loves the Lord, asks the Lord for grace, depends upon his grace, has faith in the promises of God. The Lord knows how to deliver that person out of temptation. He won't be overcome by the temptation, but others will be overcome by the temptation because they're not hearers and doers of the word. And he keeps the unrighteous. Doesn't matter. He's not talking about whether you're called a Christian or not called a Christian. There are Christians that are unrighteous because they know to do good and they don't do it. That's sin when you know to do good and you don't do it. And so they're more responsible than the people of the world, actually. They'll be beaten with many stripes, according to what Jesus said. Well, whereas the people of the world, not knowing what was right, will be beaten with few stripes. And he said to keep the unrighteous under punishment unto the day of judgment, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh. In other words, they want to please themselves. They're not interested in the crucified life, losing their life in this world. They instead want to please their flesh. That could be a selfish ambition, or it could be the lusts of the flesh. Either way, they do what pleases their flesh. And they never come out of judgment, and they never are delivered of temptation. They wonder why they keep temptation and keep it and keep it and keep it and can't get rid of it. It's because they walk after the flesh. They are sowing an evil seed. They're not sowing the seed of the good news of the gospel into their hearts, and they're not remembering it when they get in a situation where they need to have it, speak it, walk it, and so on. So these walk after the flesh. He keeps them under judgment, under punishment, because they walk after the flesh in the lusts of defilement. Defilement now is sowing a bad seed and reaping defilement in your mind, in your body, in your actions, in your fruit, etc. Defiled. And they despise dominion. You know, everybody wants to be a chief, but you got to be an Indian first. And if you don't know how to submit, you are not going to be in a place of dominion. To him that overcometh will I give authority over the nations, the Lord said, to him that overcometh. You have to learn how to overcome. You have to learn submission to somebody that is wiser than you, or that God ordained and put in a position to lead you in a good way. And those that are, their flesh is pumped up and they've got selfish ambition, or they are in sin and they get corrected, and a fool doesn't like correction, so the fool turns against you and they start doing what the Democrats are doing to Trump, blaming him for the same exact things they are doing. Do you know anybody like that? I know a bunch of people like that. And they're defiled. Their minds are defiled. They despise dominion. They don't care who God ordained. They don't care that the people that God did ordain have walked in the light, had the power of God, demonstrated the authority of the Lord. They don't care about those things. The only thing they care about is themselves and promoting themselves. Daring, self-willed, they tremble not to rail at dignities or glories. That, you know, the word there is actually glories. They tremble not to rail at glories. What glories? Well, the star, moon, and sun glories. Somebody that is more glorious with the light of God's word shining from them than they are, let me say. Whereas angels, though greater in might and power, bring not a railing judgment against them before the Lord. But these, as creatures without reason, born mere animals to be taken and destroyed, railing or reviling in matters whereof they are ignorant, shall in their destroying surely be destroyed. Yes, these people who speak against the truth, who try to destroy the word of God, who try to destroy people who speak the word of God, who come against the word of God, and they come against the truth. I've had people who, in their despising dominion, had to disprove everything that they learned in order to, rail at me and to bring me down. They had to disprove everything. And so while they disproved everything that they learned, it was taken away from them because they had to prove it all wrong, you see, because of their hatred. They had to prove it all wrong. There's politicians right now, never Trumpers, that are offended with Trump, that are railing against him. And of course, the Democrats. And thank you, Father, that you are going to show the end of this by your judgment and your justice. You love justice, and you're seeing it through, and it's your power behind the whole thing. Well, in the church, it's the same thing. It's going on in the church, too. I recognize the same demons in politics that I recognized in the faction back in 2011. And it's amazing and astounding how foolish a person can get as they go down this wrong road trying to defend themselves. Because let me tell you, a good bit of the political crowd in the House is going to be judged for their very deep and despicable sins. And that's the reason they're trying to save themselves desperately and do everything they can to destroy what is good and happening good in this country. Well, the same thing is happening in the church. The same thing. This is just a very good and open demonstration to us of where reprobation can bring you. So in their destroying, they will surely be destroyed. Suffering wrong as the hire of wrongdoing. In other words, they were bribed to do what was wrong, bribed to believe what was wrong, bribed to take wrong sides for their own sake. They were bribed by their flesh. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime spots and blemishes, reveling in their deceivings while they feast with you. Yes, they are deceivers and deceiving, and they see nothing wrong with that when they get to that point, because they are being reprobated. Having eyes full of adultery, seemingly the faction in the church and the faction in the government is full of every kind of fornication. Why God delivers all of them over to fornication is just astounding. And cannot cease from sin. They can't cease from sin. They can't. Even if they want to, they can't. They can't cease from sin because they've sown corruption and reaped corruption. Then they sow corruption from their corruption, and it gets worse and worse and worse. Only holiness is the way of righteousness and purity and bearing fruit. Enticing unsteadfast souls. Oh, yes, they do. They try to bring other people into their corruption because misery loves company. And you always want to try to look down on someone, you know, someone. So misery loves company. So they deceive others. They have an ambition to evangelize, to turn people over to the life of the beast. And when they find this person, they make them doubly more a child of hell than themselves, as Jesus said. Having a heart exercised in covetousness. Yes, they can't get enough of what does not belong to them. They have desires for things and people and so on and so forth. Children of cursing. Yes, they're constantly cursing. And the Bible talks about them. Those that love cursing, it will come unto them. It will come unto them. Forsaking the right way. They went astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the hire of wrongdoing. In other words, the Lord told him no, but he went back to ask the Lord again because he liked the hire. He wanted the pay. He wanted the things. He didn't care what God wanted. God had already told him what he wanted, but he wanted His desires were over and above God's desires. But he was rebuked for his own transgressions. A dumb ass spake with a man's voice and stayed the madness of the prophet. He wasn't so dumb, was he? These are springs without water, mists driven by a storm, for whom the blackness of darkness has been reserved. And you know, you can't convict these people that that's where they're headed. They can't be convicted because their conscience is seared as with a hot iron. You can't convince them that if they go against the word of God, they will reap this corruption. They will get further and further from God. Let me say this. There's nobody that can get further from God than the person who has known God. The publicans and the harlots will enter into the kingdom before them, Jesus said. For uttering great swelling words of vanity, they entice in the lusts of the flesh by lasciviousness. That's a license to do what you want to do, right? Those who are just escaping from them that live in error. So they're enticing people who have just escaped. In other words, they've just come into Christianity. They're just learning about being a disciple. And so they entice them with lusts of the flesh to draw them back into the world. Isn't that always what the devil wants to do? He wants to take down those who are Christ. promising them liberty while they themselves are bondservants of corruption. Yes, that's exactly what they do. They're promising them liberty, their freedom. It's not a freedom from sin. It's a freedom to sin. That's what their corruption is. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he also brought into bondage. Yes, they bring him into bondage. The demons that are in the leaders are exercising authority over the demons in the deceived. And you'll find that's what happens. This is really what's going on. You have to separate yourself from these demon-possessed leaders, whatever they're a leader in or whatever they lead to. You must separate from them because that spirit has exercising authority over the spirits in the deceived. For if after they have escaped from the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, first of all, how can you escape this? Some people talk about once saved, always saved. That's a delusion in itself. You want to believe that? Because you want to continue in your sins. Okay, it's a delusion. You don't think you have to do anything because you call that all works. You know, you're not saved by works, right? But they don't even do the good works that come to those who are faithful to the Lord. And they call that works too. So basically, they don't have to do anything. All they have to do is shake a preacher's hand and say, I do, you know. So, they've just escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome. The last state is become worse with them than the first. Worse than when they were lost. They become worse than they were when they were lost. So you see, a person who has come to the Lord, because now they're made responsible, because now they know what's right and they know what to do. And when they don't do it and they don't obey it, they're a hearer and not a doer. They become more and more corrupt until they're worse than what they were when they came into the kingdom. And now they can no longer walk in the kingdom. And I want to tell you, there are many Christians who go to church who are not walking in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is where God is king. If the preacher's king and he's more important to obey than God and he's going astray and you're going astray because it's one of those dead religions, well, you're not in the kingdom. You're not walking according to the king. You're not submitting to the king. So worse than at the first, he says, that's where they go. For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Better to never know the way. Once you know the way, you're responsible. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, which shall devour the adversaries. You see, knowledge makes you responsible. But knowledge has another thing that you must have it, because it's the only way to bear fruit. So you must have knowledge, and you must obey it to bear fruit. And if you don't, you're going to become more and more corrupt. That's why 3 out of every 4, according to Jesus' parable there, and the parable of the sower, fall away. They don't realize, okay, now you know the truth, now you're responsible. You need to walk in it. You say you love God, okay, prove it. Keep his commandments. It were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that had washed to the wallowing in the mire. That's a sad thing. It's more common than you think. It seems so terrible that you don't think that could ever happen to you. But that's nonsense. It does happen to many. It does happen to multitudes of people. And, you know, Jesus himself can heal you, deliver you, show you great revelations, do mighty miracles through you, and still say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Workers of iniquities, right? Okay, Matthew 12. Verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This man doth not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. Big mistake on their part, according to Jesus. I'll read in 31. It's a mistake that's done today, too. If a person is jealous and ambitious and in a war to try to prove their supremacy and ignoring dominion, etc., etc., you know, lusting after the place of power and dominion over God. Remember, the devil, he wants his throne above the stars of heaven. He wants his throne over the stars of heaven, which is the seed of Abraham. Okay, and anybody that works for him, that's what they want too. That's what they desire too. So they said, because of their jealousy, they said that he was doing his works by Beelzebub, the devil. And Jesus said, Therefore I say unto you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Now, the word blasphemy just is a word that means to speak against. They were speaking against the Holy Spirit who was doing the works of Jesus and calling it bad, calling it evil, calling it from the devil. Now, I've seen people who did that when they were competitive and against me, you know, calling good works evil. Yeah. And they don't understand. You're accusing the Holy Spirit of being evil. The Holy Spirit who does the works through his people. You're calling that evil. And that's very dangerous. And wherever and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever shall speak against, that's basically what blasphemy, the word for blasphemy means, to speak against the Holy Spirit. Whosoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, nor in that which is to come. It's amazing how you can do the works of Jesus, go out there and teach the word of God, cast out devils, heal the sick, you know, do miracles, be used to do all these things, and these wicked who want to a position of authority and are jealous will do the same thing that these Pharisees did to Jesus, and the same thing their forefathers did to all of the prophets. That's right. And it still goes on today, and they don't understand. They're being reprobated. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. Now, the Lord says this is going to happen. He's not going to do anything with the fence riders but spew them out of his mouth. Okay? There's going to be a distance between the good and the bad. He's spewing out all the lukewarm, everybody that rides the fence. He's doing it now. He's bundling them into bundles to burn them. So the righteous will shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. For the tree is known by its fruit. You offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Yeah, they speak evil. They charge people with evil. They speak against the prophets. They speak against Jesus. They speak against his apostles. And they speak about anybody against anybody that walks in the word from then to this day. It's the history that is repeated throughout the Bible. It can't change. The things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun, right? The good man out of his good treasure bringeth forth good things. The evil man out of his evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And of course, he's still talking about more than what he just spoke about concerning the Pharisees calling the good works of the Holy Spirit from the devil. Okay, he's still speaking about that, but it covers a lot more than that. Okay, let's go down to verse 43. But the unclean spirit, when he has gone out of a man, passeth through waterless places, seeking rest and finding it not. Then he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Look, swept and garnished. Empty, swept, and garnished. It was cleaned up. Okay. It was cleaned up, but it wasn't filled up. All right. And what do we need to fill it up with? Well, according to the parable of the sower, we need to fill it up with the word of God, discipleship to the word of God, being a hearer and a doer of the word of God. And so Jesus did all these wonderful things for the people of this age that he did them for, including cast their demons out, heal their sick, so on and so forth. But they didn't appreciate it enough to live according to what he was discipling them as. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more evil than himself. Notice, if you didn't appreciate what you had, you'll get worse. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man, there it is again, the last state of that man becometh worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this evil generation. No, so again, the people that Jesus taught, healed, delivered, you know, they became more and more corrupt, and they were an evil generation. They became totally demon-possessed because they didn't live in what the Lord had given to them. He proved the power of his gospel. He proved the truth of his gospel, but they, I mean, in all his signs and wonders, you know, he said, believe me for my work's sake. In other words, look at what I'm doing here. Believe me for my work's sake, not just my words. And they did believe that he was that because of his works, but they still fell away because they valued walking after the flesh more. And, you know, if you happen to be one of them who is on the vicious end of their tongue, don't worry about it. The Lord is going to bless you because it's happened throughout history. The Lord says in Luke 6, 21 through 23, blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, there's faction, and reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Yes. And I say, the people that do that today, who are their fathers? The one who is your father is the one you follow in the steps of. That's what I learned from Scripture. You can say you're sons of God, but if you walk in the steps of the devil, you're a son of the devil. There's no way out of it. So we must seek wisdom first and foremost. It must be the most important thing in our life to seek wisdom and to value it and to love it. If you do these things and you value it above your old life and your selfish desires and your fleshly desires, then in the midst of the tribulation or trial or test, you will overcome. And if you value your old life more, the test will prove that you will not overcome and that you will be reprobated. There will be a falling away. So desire wisdom. Oh my, and is Proverbs ever full of this? And Ecclesiastes and many other places are so full of this. Job, you know. I'm going to read a little bit in Proverbs here. Proverbs 1 and 20. Well, I think I'm going to start in verse 7 and then jump to 20. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Yeah. "But the foolish despise wisdom and instruction." They despise it. And verse 20 says, "Wisdom crieth aloud in the street. She uttereth her voice in the broad places." Now, you know, Jesus was called the wisdom of God in three different places. His word, his truth, his righteousness, his purity. He is the wisdom of God. We are to walk in his steps. He'll only be our spiritual father if we walk in his steps, right? "She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, at the entrance of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words." Yep, they're heard, but seldom obeyed. "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight them in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge." Yeah, simple ones love simplicity. They like to bring things down on a level that they don't have to dig very deep to find the answer, right? And religion is that way. There's such a simplicity in religion. They just, you know, the Word of God is so intricate and goes in so many different directions. It covers everything about life. But if a person does not want to give up their sins, they oversimplify things. And they put everything into one grouping, like everybody's going to get the same reward or some such stupidity as that, you know. Because that takes away responsibility, you know. So they don't want to be responsible. They love simplicity. They oversimplify things. "And scoffers delight them in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof." This is wisdom speaking and the Lord speaking. "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you." See, if you turn at his reproof, here's what he's offering. "I'll give you my spirit, I'll make my words known unto you. If you love the truth, you will find it. If you seek the truth and you love the truth, you will find it. But then it will also make you responsible. You'll have the opportunity to bear the fruit of Jesus and to do the works of Jesus and receive the power of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. But if you don't want to obey, you will get worse quickly because you're being held responsible. We have no choice but to bear fruit, 30, 60, 100. Or we don't have eternal life, okay, as Jesus plainly said. Because I have called and you have refused, and I have stretched out my hand, and no man hath regarded, but you have set at naught all of my counsel, and wouldest none of my reproof. None of my reproof. The Lord is constantly trying to correct foolish children. And if they're not stubborn and rebellious, and they desire Him and they love Him and they want truth, they will continue to bear fruit. But if they rebel because of their love of the world and because of the nature passed on to them, through their parents, as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, right? Everything that we got passed down through the Adamic creation, the physical creation, is corrupt. And the only creation the last Adam offered is righteousness and purity and truth. Wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. But they said it not, all my counsel, he said, and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh in the day of your calamity. You see, these people want to be delivered in the day of calamity, but they don't want the truth, but they don't understand. That's not the people that escape the calamity. The people who escape the calamity are the holy people who love the truth. So in the calamity, they cry out to God. And quite often, because they have no desire for truth, He ignores them. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a storm, and your calamity cometh on as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then will they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Sounds like you need to choose knowledge and choose wisdom before the day of judgment. Yeah. Now, the people of the world are not as responsible as the people of the kingdom. People of the kingdom can totally be turned away from, while the people of the world, in their ignorance, are not being judged as harshly. And people of the world can come into the kingdom in a time of judgment, while those that call themselves children of the king but don't obey the king, are going to be left out in the cold. And he said of the Jews, you'll see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven and yourselves cast forth without. And it's the same in Christianity. You'll see Jesus and the apostles, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom and yourselves cast forth without if you do not listen to what the Lord is saying before the day of judgment. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Yes, if you don't have the power of God, you don't do things the way God does things, you don't pray and believe and receive, and you go back to your old ways and your old devices, everything's going to fail because the shaking is coming. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. And the things that cannot be shaken is the kingdom of God, Jesus' way of doing things. That's the kingdom of God. That's where Jesus is king. If you followed Jesus as a disciple or a methetes, if you followed him and you learned his ways, you were walking in the kingdom. That's the place of safety. That's the place of provision. So people, you know, think that they can provide for themselves in this world, defend themselves in this world, and they've got all these devices to take care of themselves in this world. But it's not going to happen, because it's not men that rule, it's God who rules. And he has both vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. He can do what he wants with anyone. For the backsliding of the simple shall slay them. You hear me? The backsliding of the simple shall slay them. Who is taken out by these deceivers? Yes, right. Yeah, the people who did not love truth justified themselves rather than justifying God. They're taken out. The backsliding of the simple. A simple is not somebody that's, you know, wise in the ways of the Lord. These deceivers, slay them, take them out. Well, at least the kingdom is being cleansed of people who don't love truth and wisdom, right? Cleansed. And the careless ease of fools shall destroy them. Careless ease. Careless ease. Yes, just do whatever feels good to the flesh. Careless ease. Careless because they're not moved by the Word of God, right? They're not doing things that are against self. You know, it's careless ease, right? No real battle going on there, right? But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell securely and shall be quiet without fear of evil. Yes, ultimately, you know, the wicked rail against the righteous. But when the day of judgment comes, everybody finds out who's who. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commands with thee, so as to incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou cry after discernment and lift up thy voice for understanding. Do you do this? Do you cry out to the Lord for understanding? Do you cry out to him for discernment? Do you cry out for the wisdom of God? Because look what you escape when you have the wisdom of God. And look what you can have in the kingdom of heaven. If thou seek her as silver... Is this really important to you? I mean, is it important to seek wisdom and discernment and knowledge of the Lord, understanding? Is it why? Well, you know, a man does what he wants to do. If running after these things is what you're doing, it proves that you love the Lord. It proves that you love purity. It proves that you love righteousness. If the world is the only thing you got time for, guess what? You missed it, and you're going to fail. If thou seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, all right. Now see, notice the value that people see in the scriptures, in the knowledge, in the purity, in the truth, the knowledge that they seek as silver, as treasure. Do you do that? Is it most important to you? You know, you've only got one time around here on this earth. And if you miss it, you've missed it big time. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. So when you find this wisdom, this understanding, you understand the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is good. You find favor from God with the fear of the Lord. I mean, the Lord has the only wisdom on this earth, the only knowledge, the only understanding on this earth. We have to go to Him to get it. So you can pray, you can seek the scriptures, you can seek the knowledge of the Lord. If you don't have this, you're going to make steps that are wrong. There are people that stay trapped in dead religion all their life, and they never bear the fruit of Jesus Christ, the Jesus who once walked this earth and showed us how to live. They never bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. Of course, they all believe that, and they all put them in heaven every time there's a funeral. You know, it will cost you something to gain eternal life. Eternal life is the nature of Jesus Christ. That is eternal life. And they bear the fruit of Jesus 30, 60, and 100-fold. And they enter into the kingdom, and the other three groups don't. They miss it. It's just that simple. And the love of the world choked out the word. The lusts of their flesh choked out the word. They didn't seek. If you want to overcome the nature of the old man, which has been put there and passed on down for century after century after century, if you want to overcome that, you have to overwhelm that with something new. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You must change the way you think. You've got to put enough of the way God thinks in there until it overcomes the way you think. And you must see the value in not only just reading it and enjoying reading it, but doing it. Right. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So seek that treasure, right? He layeth up sound wisdom for the upright. In other words, the upright are the people who walk with the Lord. If you walk with the Lord, He gives more wisdom, right? He layeth up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk in integrity. He defends those who walk in integrity. That He may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of His saints. He's guarding that path. He's going to make sure that no beast goes up thereon. It's the highway of holiness that leads to Zion. He's going to make sure no beast can go thereon. So He guards it. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and justice and equity, yea, and every good path. You want to know what is the right way to go? Let the Lord lead you. Let His wisdom lead you. Seek out the truth in the Bible, right? And if you have to stay home from church to do that, well, do it, because you don't recognize the truth in most churches. For wisdom shall enter into thy heart, and knowledge shall be pleasant unto thy soul. Yeah. When you hunger for more of it, you love to walk in righteousness. You know how I call it cool to be fool. Out in the world there, people want to see how foolish they can be, because that's cool. Yeah. The wicked are doing very wickedly and justifying it. And even the lawmakers are doing very wickedly and justifying it. They think it's cool. They think it's right. And if you, are seeking to be pure and righteous and holy, they'll call you a fool, right? Discretion shall watch over thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil. from men that speak perverse things. Yet do you want to be delivered by men who speak words that are demonic, that are a trap, that they are trying to capture you and bring you into bondage? Do you want to be delivered from these people? Love the truth. Love the truth. It will always defend you. Who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness? Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the perverseness of evil? Have we ever seen a day like this, when this is so right on about what's going on out there? Who are crooked in their ways and wavered in their paths? To deliver thee from the strange woman. Yeah, what we often call the harlot, right? Who is not faithful to her husband, but receives the seed of the world. And she's the harlot, strange woman. Even from the foreigner that flattereth with her words. They're foreigners. Look, there's churches are full of foreigners, not physical foreigners, spiritual foreigners. They're foreign to the kingdom of God. And they're, going to get their fire insurance by going to church and looking good to the preacher and, being accepted as a Christian. They think that gives them some advantage, but it doesn't. That forsaketh the friend of her youth. So, this foreign woman forsaketh the friend of her youth. She may have known the Lord, but went after the world and the things of the world. And, all the religions claim that the Bible is the Word of God. And some of them even claim that they believe it cover to cover. Have you ever heard that? But it can't be proven, in their life. And forgetteth the covenant of her God. We have a covenant. Our responsibility is to believe and to trust so that God empowers us to be obedient and to keep his word and to keep his covenant, right? He will give the power if we will believe and be committed to obeying. He will empower us. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither do they attain unto the paths of life. Yes, the harlot is guilty of the blood of the saints and of the prophets. A great deceiver is religion. The most dangerous deceiver is the religious deceivers. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Notice, not everybody who enters the land remains there. The Lord says he will awake morning by morning and drive the wicked from his land, right? And the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. And we're talking about the land on which God's people should stand, their promised land, their promises of the kingdom they should stand. God told Joshua, every place you put the sole of your foot, I'm going to give it to you. And that's the way the promises are, right? We stand upon the promises and we get what they say. If we don't stand upon them by faith, we don't get what they say. So the fruit will be proven who is who, right? And we just have to put our trust in Almighty God. I'm going to look at chapter 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. There's where happiness comes from. Look, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Wisdom and understanding create happiness. For the gaining of it is better than the gaining of silver, and the profit thereof than fine gold. Gaining wisdom and understanding is better than running after the world and getting all these things that you can't keep anyway. You're giving up things that you can't keep in order to get things that you can't lose. It will not be taken away from her. Right? That's what Jesus said. She's chosen the better part. It shall not be taken away from her. Are you willing to give up things that you can't keep but for a breath? Your life is a breath. Are you willing to give up things that you can't keep in order to get things that you can't lose? If you're running after these things, I don't say that God can't give you these things. He can give these things. He can trust people with these things if they're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Because He said all these things will be added unto you. But if you're running in the opposite direction, you're running after these things, He can't trust you with these things because you've got an idol. She is more precious than rubies, that wisdom. And none of the things thou canst desire are to be compared unto her. None of the things in this world can be compared to wisdom. Wisdom has eternal benefits. Running after the world has zero benefits. Even if you get your hands on all of the things of the world, but you have run after them, you have lost your benefits in the kingdom. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Well, there you go. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God will prove this. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. So wisdom is a tree of life. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. There it is again. Second time he said happiness comes from wisdom, right? The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the depths were broken up, and the skies dropped down dew. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. In other words, spend a lot of time in the Word, seeking out knowledge and wisdom. Let them not depart from thine eyes. I will put no evil thing before mine eyes, David said, right? Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Keep it. Obey it, in other words. Keep it. So shall they be life unto thy soul. You want a living soul? You want a born-again soul? Keep sound wisdom and discretion. And grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way securely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Okay. You know, if you do not stumble, thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom. Stumbling is what a lot of people do when they fall, right? When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord will be thy confidence, and will keep thy foot from being taken. And so, the benefits of seeking wisdom above the things of the world. How great. How great. Let's see. I'll read a little bit in Proverbs 4. Well, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Okay, so we need to keep our minds renewed with the Word of God. It's not like you can read it one time and that's all you need. You know, you need to keep reminding yourself. He says, do not decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she will preserve thee. Yes, if you decline from this, if you get distracted, because there are many distractions in the world, if none of these things are more important to you than seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, you'll be preserved. Love her, and she will keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. It's the principal thing. Wisdom is the way to holiness. Wisdom is the way to fruit. Wisdom is the way to deliverance from bondage. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. Yea, with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote thee. Exalt wisdom. Lift up wisdom. Point out wisdom. Enjoy sharing wisdom, just like the fool enjoys sharing foolishness, right? Exalt her, and she will promote thee. She will bring thee to honor whom thou dost embrace her, when thou dost embrace her. She will give to thy head a chaplet of grace. Ooh, well, that would be awesome, right? She will give you grace. Want to know where grace comes from? Well, seek out wisdom. Love wisdom. God will give grace for those that seek wisdom. You know what? If you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the Lord will take up the slack. He will take care of many things that you would have to deal with. In other words, as long as you're seeking him and desiring truth, a lot of those things out there that happen to the wicked won't happen to you. You won't be distracted, right? Because God takes up the slack. As long as you're seeking first his kingdom, he takes care of all these things, he says, right? All these things shall be added unto you. A crown of beauty will she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Well, that could be good. I would say eternal life is even better. And we know that if we seek after wisdom, we will have eternal life. And that can't be compared to many years on this earth. But as long as you're faithfully using your time on this earth, there's no reason for God to take it away, right? If you get to, you know, foolishly spending your time and you're not using it to promote the kingdom in your life and in others, it may be a reason for God to take it away. And the years of thy life shall be many, he says. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the paths of uprightness. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And if thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Instruction is thy life. The fool hates instruction. The fool hates correction. The fool runs after the things of the world. And they covet the world and its worldliness and its ways and promotion. They seek all these things. But to please God is not important. To please men, there are many people in Christianity who are there simply to please themselves by pleasing men. And, of course, they don't care about the God who sees everything. They don't care about pleasing Him. They're pleasers of men, like Jesus said the Pharisees were, right? How about 20 through 24? It says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes." Once again, we hear this. It is most important that you spend time in the Word every day, that you seek God's wisdom every day. "Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart." When I was young in the Lord, I received a gift, which I realized is not something that I could, it would just naturally stay. It was something I had to continue to ask for. I received a gift to seek the Lord and to seek truth, and had questions in my mind I went looking for answers for. And I spent a lot of time in the Word. And I noticed that people entered the kingdom in the same time I did. They stumbled. They fell into different traps, religious traps, or they stayed in the religious trap they were in the beginning instead of outgrowing it and going on to wiser things. And that was because they, you know, were fulfilling their obligations, you know, to the religious organizations, but they weren't seeking the Lord on their own. They weren't seeking for truth. I had many friends that went to school with me in the second religion I went to. I went to a Baptist church first, and I realized that they were tearing out pages, more than pages, of the Bible, and didn't believe in the same gospel or the same discipleship or the same Jesus. They just did not. And I thought it was very sad because I had been reading the Bible, devouring the Bible, loving the Bible, exercising faith, seeing miracles, and they were saying that this all passed away. And I knew better because I was a baby Christian and seeing miracles. And that's because I loved the Word, and I was, hey, okay, if it works for them, it'll work for me, you know. And I didn't know that people believed such a thing. It took me a while before I went to any churches because I was too busy. I got rid of my hobbies. I got rid of my TV. I got rid of things that just were useless to me. All of it became useless to me. The most important thing to me was reading the Bible, gaining knowledge, understanding of the Word, knowing the Lord, coming close to the Lord, seeing His blessings and His provisions and His miracles. All this was important to me. The rest wasn't important. And I realized it was a gift because after a while it would start to recede and I would pray and God would bring it back. And maybe after a while, same thing, I'd pray and God would. So you can pray for this. One thing I prayed for a lot when I was young was truth. I want to know the truth. And I asked the Lord all the time, "Lord, I want to know the truth." And He would lead me to truth. He was fulfilling my prayers. He was leading me to truth. And it kept me. It healed my body. When friends were dying, it healed my body. It gave me deliverance. It gave me provision. The Lord provided for me as I sought first His kingdom. Even when I worked, you know, for a living, I had a Bible in my pocket. And if there was ever a moment that I could legally sit and read it, I would. If I was waiting for something to happen, I would. I love to do my job. I enjoyed my job. I enjoyed pleasing my bosses. And I felt the Lord was putting that in me because I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed being faithful and so on and so forth. But it was the Word. It was the Word. It was the Word. The constant Word going into my heart. You know, it's transforming you by the renewing of your mind. And so I saw people that came into the kingdom same time as me, and a lot of them did not last. And a lot of them some are still stuck in the old dead religions that they were in that I started out in. They're still there. They haven't grown beyond that point because they did not value wisdom and truth. They're stuck there. They're still in the playpen. And they haven't grown enough to climb over the bars and get out. So, Lord, I pray for anyone out there, Lord, that is stuck like this, and that you would put in their heart to seek your word, to please you rather than man. I ask, Lord, that you put it in their heart, this gift of desiring after you, of desiring truth, of looking for truth, of filling their heart with the very thing that gives us the fruit of Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ, the only Jesus Christ. So, Lord, thank you for doing that for many people who are listening today. So let's read on here. Proverbs chapter 4. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Keep them, because people give them up. Just like I was telling you earlier about people that said that this all this was just taken out of their heart. Because they love the world and the things of the world, God said, okay, I'll give this to somebody else. Jesus said, no man take thy crown. Because people do take your crown. You can be replaced. If you don't value it, I guarantee you there is somebody that will. That's the way God looks on it. For they are life unto those that find them. Yes, they are. This is eternal life. Walking in the paths of the Word of God is eternal life. It is walking in the kingdom because you're obeying the King. And health to all their flesh. Yep. I'm not bragging, but people have said, you don't look as old as you are. And I usually tell them, well, that's because of Jesus, you know. It's because of his gift. I had a girl at the bank told me the same thing. Boy, I hope I look that good when I'm your age. So, well, follow Jesus, you know. Their health to your flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep your heart. Most important thing, do not have a defiled heart, because you will sow that and you will reap worse. As it's a progression uphill or a failure going downhill, right? Because it just gets worse and worse and worse. And that's because you have less good to sow. You need to keep filling your life with the Word of God. For out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a wayward mouth. Well, this is wayward mouth is a mouth that's not in agreement with the Word. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's important that you say what God says. He is the high priest of your confession. And he has to have something to offer before the Father, the Bible says. Your confession is to speak the same as. That's what confession means, to speak the same as. And you're to speak the same as what God says about you. Even the promises that you can't see with your eyes, you confess them before men, and God will confess you before the Father. Jesus will confess you before the Father and before the holy angels, he says. Put away from thee a wayward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee, because they'll destroy you. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. A loose tongue, a tongue that's connected to the old man, letting the old man speak, makes him bigger, bigger, bigger. I don't know if you remember that revelation the Lord gave to me. If you let the old man speak, he makes the giants bigger, bigger, bigger. He makes the impossibilities bigger, bigger, bigger. If only the spiritual man speaks, he's whittled down to size. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Make level the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Amen. It's the way of the Lord, and wisdom will help you in this path, and you shall be an overcomer. Okay. Proverbs 19, 20 and 21 says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. You know, it's a geometric progression. If you keep building on truth, you can't receive some truths until you receive other truths. Jesus said, there's many things I have to teach you, but you can't receive them right now. What he was saying was, there's some truths, there's some knowledge that you have to have before you can get other knowledge. Now, there are people that are just filled with knowledge, but they've got nothing because they don't walk in it. Okay. But for it to bear fruit in you, in other words, for the knowledge of God to live in you and walk in you and speak out of you, that's totally different. This is what bearing the fruit of Jesus is. This is what being a hearer of the word and a doer of the word is. That you might be wise in your latter end. We have a purpose here on this earth. And we're called to that purpose, which means we're invited to that purpose. And that purpose is Christ-likeness, the manifestation of sons of God, etc. There are many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Yes, we are full of devices. We have ingenuity. We figure our way out of this problem or that problem or whatever. But if you stop and listen to the Lord and ask for wisdom from God, he's got a way that may not seem right unto a man, but the end is the way of life. So I say stop and seek the Lord. He has a way. I like this little text in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 13 through, I would say, 18. It says, I've also seen wisdom under the sun on this wise. And it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and a few men within it. I would say that's probably wisdom, right? A few men within it. And there came a great king against it. Well, we know great kings have come against God's people from the beginning. Many, many great kings. And it was either for one or two purposes. It was either for chastening, or it was so that they could conquer that king. Yeah. So great kings have come against the kingdom of God from the beginning. Well, this was evidently an adversary, right? He says, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Yes, and we've seen that many times in the scriptures, right? In Sennacherib and Jehoshaphat and, you know, different times when great armies had come against the people of God. You know, in Joel chapter 2, etc. Great armies that come against the people of God. And it didn't matter the multitudes, how big they were. It didn't matter. Because in each case, God had an answer. It was far above man's answer. It was supernatural. God's answers are all supernatural. Right? But we must seek Him and we must wait for Him. Those that struck out on their own and made allegiances with the world in order to defend them against the world, they lost and were rebuked, including sometimes people that were good who lost their way and started, you know, leaning on the arm of the flesh and brought a curse on themselves. Now there was found in it a poor wise man. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. And it's so true, you know, Jesus, you know, was poor in his kingdom. I don't care what the prosperity preachers say. He was poor in his kingdom. He had everything he needed. But to the world, he would have been poor, even to what successful preachers attained to, he would have been considered poor, you know, but he wasn't. He was very rich, and but he didn't need the world. He didn't love the world. He didn't want the weight of the world. He didn't want to bring it all with him or seek after it or take care of it or have insurance on it or all these other things, you know. Okay, so and it is truly a small city. Jesus could have brought great crowds and made disciples of them all, but he made disciples of just a few. He wanted to send forth his word and only his word. He didn't want it dispersed into so many different ideas. You know, he spent a lot of time with his disciples. They were definitely a small city. Even after they grew and stretched out, they were still a small city compared to this world, right? He, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Yes, the beast was a great, big, monstrous beast. Could have swallowed up many, many people besides just a small group that was protected by the poor wise man, right? Wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. How crazy, right? When you read the stories of the Bible, how crazy. We see where faith in the mighty God brought people. And what miracles they saw, what provisions they saw, what destructions of their enemies they saw. And his words are not heard. The words of the wise man, of the wise heard in quiet, are better than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Oh boy, I tell you, it's never been so more distinct than in this day. 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Oh, that is so true. One sinner destroys much good. Well, it doesn't get them anywhere. The Lord is a God of justice. And he is bringing justice. He's bringing justice in the church. He's bringing justice in the world. He's bringing justice. And that means, of course, judgment. Because let favor be showed to the wicked. He will not learn righteousness, but will deal wrongfully in the land of the living, right? That's right. So, God is bringing judgment. His recompense is before him. And his provision and blessing for his bride is with him. Yeah. Well, Lord, we ask for your grace today that you would give us this gift of constantly, every day, seeking your word, seeking the truth. Lord, many men go and seek riches. They think that's the only way you can provide. But you have shown me, Lord, that that's not true. You've given me houses and vehicles and halls, even while I sought you and didn't even have time to go out and do these things. You've done this for many, many years, Lord, for me, while I was able, by the grace of God, to seek that which I desired, which is to know more about you, Lord, and to know truth. And, Lord, I thank you for that grace that you have given unto me. I ask, Lord, that you give this grace to our listeners today, that they would have in their heart to seek you and ask you for wisdom, for understanding, for truth, and that you would give them the gift to seek it out, that it would be so valuable to them that they would sacrifice other things in order to seek it out, so that they would have a good seed to sow and could reap a very good harvest. And so that the seed that they had sown of the flesh, of the world, and of its ways would be overcome by the renewing of their mind. Thank you, Father, that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Lord, give us grace to love the truth and to love Jesus Christ. Of course, we can't separate loving Jesus from loving the truth. He is the truth, and he is the Word of God. If we love him, we will love the Word of God. Father, give all to those out there who desire truth and a desire for truth and a desire to seek out wisdom. Lord, give them that gift. I ask it in Jesus' name. I pray that multitudes of people will hear this and will ask you. You said, ask and you shall receive, right? Knock and you'll find. Lord, we thank you, Father, that your grace is sufficient for us and that you want to do miracles through us. You are full of great and wonderful promises, Lord, and you can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. So, Lord, help us to stretch forth our faith and take hold of your grace to seek first your kingdom. And, Lord, for those who do seek first your kingdom, we know that you will deliver them from the cares of this world. You've got so many other people who are wasting their life that they can take care of the things of the world. And your people can seek you first and fill their life up with you so that it's Jesus that comes out of them when they open their mouth. It's Jesus that comes out of them as they walk. It's Jesus that comes out of them when they lay hands on the sick, etc., etc. Lord, we pray, Lord, we know that the world needs Jesus. It doesn't need us. It needs Jesus. And yet we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we can come into his image from glory to glory as we see Jesus in the mirror. We accept, Lord, the gift of Jesus who was given to us at the cross. He made reconciliation, which is an exchange. He exchanged his life for ours. Now we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. That is the good confession that we give And we know that Jesus will live through us. We know that he will heal, he will deliver, he will teach, he will love, he will do these things through us. Lord, because of our faith in you, we ask, Lord, that you continue to manifest the power of your Son in us, Lord. We know that Jesus' life was precious to you. It was a great sacrifice to you. And Lord, let it be to us also. Let it be so precious that we won't waste it. That we will desire and we will seek and we will ask for more, more, more. We know, Lord, that you're not bothered by that. You're actually enthused about that. You're actually very happy about that. We ask you to put in our heart, Lord, to desire more, 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 more of you, Lord. More of you, more of your life, more of your word flowing out of us, more of your miracles, more of your signs. Lord, we pray, we ask you for this in Jesus' name, Father. Grant us grace, Lord. Draw us, and we will run after you, as the Shulamite said. Draw us, and we will run. Lord, we trust wholly in your grace, Lord. We know that we can't pick ourselves up by our bootstraps. We know, Lord, that we have to trust in you to put the grace in us, and that whatever we do that is good and that is wonderful is you. It is you. You get all the credit, Lord. Whatever is done in this earth, you do it. But you use different vessels to do different jobs. You use good vessels and you use evil vessels. All vessels are yours. Vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, they're all yours, Lord, and they all serve the King. So, Lord, we ask you, we know that even the wicked out there who come against us, Lord, it is for your glory, Lord. And we are to rejoice when they come against us. It's a sign of who we are, and it's a sign of who they are that they come against us. And it's necessary. And, Lord, we thank you, Father, that you're having mercy upon us, that you've called us to your kingdom for such a time as this, so that Jesus could walk in us and do his mighty works. Father, we thank you. You know, that coronavirus over there in China, Lord, we know we have brethren over there, an underground church over there that is powerful. We ask, Lord, that you do mighty miracles and signs and wonders through them to show the Chinese that you are a miracle-working God. We ask, Lord, that they raise the dead, that they cast out devils, that they heal the sick, they dispel coronavirus. We ask it in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, it seems to be entering into this country, mostly from the West Coast. Can't imagine why. It's coming into this country, and Lord, you got people here that are ready to go out and lay hands on the sick. They're not afraid. They've got a Passover lamb. They're not afraid to go out and lay hands on people and command them to be healed in the name of Jesus. And they're not afraid because they know they've got a Passover lamb, and there's no plague will come nigh their tent in the name of Jesus. We thank you for mighty miracles there, mighty miracles here, and around the world during these terrible times that are happening. And Lord, also, we know, as we've just read here this evening, that you're going to use this to take down the wicked who are coming against your people, deceiving your people, lying to your people, stealing from your people. Lord, we thank you for granting repentance and deliverance, or else taking them out of the way. Lord, that your gospel might go forth in power. Thank you, Father. There are mighty signs and wonders. Thank you for many resurrections, Lord, among these people. I know the national news doesn't ever carry a message like that, but it happens. And we know it happens. We've seen it happen. And so thank you, Lord, for mighty miracles and provisions for your people and for a witness that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, thank you, Father. We desire earnestly, Lord, that Jesus live once again on this earth through us and that he get the glory. Lord, glorify yourself through all of this. I know that some people are waking up and they're looking and seeing what you're doing in the government, in the governments of the world, what you're doing in your church, what you're doing in your men child, your brides. People are waking up to see this, Lord. And I thank you for making them totally uncomfortable in the dead religions that they've been in, and that they're ready to flee Babylon and go back to the kingdom, living on the kingdom soil. We thank you, Father, for that. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your mighty, mighty works through all of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom to flow from our mouths. Thank you that your Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance all things that you have said unto us so that that wisdom can flow forth out of us. Send your anointing power, Father, upon your people. Fill us mightily with your Holy Spirit, Father. Let the works of Jesus be known among your people, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Well, amen. Saints, God bless you, and thank you so much for joining us today. And the Lord be with you. And read your Bible. Mm-hmm.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-16-16, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, purest water make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you.